My brother Paul likes to barbecue beef short ribs in a Korean marinade over charcoal, and it has to be charcoal. Lucky for us, he's quite a good cook, and we've had the fortune of being invited for barbecues on a number of occasions. There's nothing like the delicious smell of charcoal-flavored Korean barbecue. In a multicultural city like Toronto, we are blessed with a plethora of restaurants that serve all kinds of ethnic foods. And each culture has a few special dishes it's known for. For example, if I said buttered chicken, many of you may think Indian. If I said souvlaki, many would probably say Greek. And if I were to say spaghetti, most of us would probably think Italian. Yes. Food. Certain dishes are associated with certain cultures, but not all cultures eat all the variety of foods there is available, because sometimes it's geography. Some of you may remember how rare an orange was here in Canada, and what a treat it was to get it in your stocking at Christmas. I remember being a little girl. I might have been 8 or so, and my mother received this brown paper package in the mail. And so I was really curious, and so she opened it up at the kitchen table, and I couldn't believe what was in there. It was a jar. I wonder if it was glass, but anyway, it was a jar. You could see through it, and when she opened it up, it was my mother's favorite dish that my grandmother had sent from South Korea, marinated raw crab. Geography. Ingredients. Sometimes we only eat certain foods because of what was available to us. But then there are some cultures that eat certain foods, that don't eat certain foods for a variety of reasons. In fact, they're restricted from it. And I wasn't really exposed to this until I met my brother's friend who was Muslim. And then I began to really understand that there truly are, and it wasn't just in the Bible, that there are truly people, even in my time, who do not eat certain kinds of food. Very observant Jews today, like in Jesus' time, still do not eat certain kinds of food. And this restriction may seem very strange or even foreign to some of us. But for a Jew to eat pork or shrimp, and this comparison is not to sort of minimalize the seriousness of breaking those dietary laws, but for a Jew to eat pork or shrimp would kind of be like a serious Habs fan wearing a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. Or it would be like a diabetic not watching his or her sugar levels. Or it may be as crazy as, what, eating without washing your hands after changing a poopy diaper? It seems strange to us. It seems foreign to us. But it was such a serious issue for Jews. And this is what Peter was up against in our reading today. He had gone to meet Cornelius, as the Spirit had told him to. And Cornelius was a Gentile who has been living in Joppa with his family. He was a godly man, but he didn't know anything about Jesus. And so Peter hears from the Spirit that he is to go and to share the good news of forgiveness, of new life. And while he's sharing the good news with them, he stays with them for several days. And in staying with them, of course he's going to share a meal or two or three. And in sharing those meals, probably ate a number of dishes that had unacceptable food on them. So he breaks Jewish law, Jewish religious law, and he sins. Back in Jerusalem, there are believers who hear about Peter sharing those meals with the Gentiles, and so when he goes up to Jerusalem, they confront him. They have a serious issue because A, he ate with uncircumcised believers, and B, he ate with them. He ate with them. But when he's confronted, Peter does not demand that the other believers respect his decision and what he did because he was an original disciple. Peter lays no claim to that. Also, also, he doesn't belittle or insult them. Instead, Peter takes the time to explain the vision he had, a vision with animals that Jews would never imagine eating, and a voice telling Peter to kill and eat, not just once or twice, but three times. Because three times Peter responds that nothing profane or unclean has ever entered his mouth. And three times he has been told, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Three times. Why three times? I think the number of times indicates that Peter has serious issues with what's being asked of him. He has grown up all his life knowing that certain foods are simply not clean. They're considered profane. And in sharing his story with the believers in Jerusalem who were circumcised, they hear Peter's struggle. Peter's struggle with God's call, a command to change a deep-held belief, a holy way of living, a critical, critical understanding of what it means to be a Jew. Imagine a husband being told to take a name of his wife. Imagine being told to change a perspective or a belief you've held deeply ever since you can remember. The critical issue for the circumcised believer seems to be that eating with Gentiles and eating unacceptable foods was an act of committing idolatry. Idolatry. For them, it was committing an act of idolatry. So to eat with Cornelius and his family, as Peter did, was not just to share a meal, but to share spiritually with them. But that's not the issue for Peter. The issue for Peter is salvation. Salvation. A forgiveness and new life. Abundant living. Wholeness. And Peter experiences again the power of the Holy Spirit as it falls on Cornelius and his family. As they hear the good news and choose to follow the way, the truth, and the life. And so Peter shares with these circumcised believers in Jerusalem his own struggle about accepting a new understanding of what is clean. And Peter shares with them his experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter asks the question. If then God gave the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who am I that I could hinder God? Who am I that I could hinder God? God gave them the same gift as he gave us. General Assembly begins this evening, and it is the highest court within our denomination. Before General Assembly this year is a very divisive issue of human sexuality. What might we learn from our reading today to help us understand of how we Christians should treat each other when we have very different opposing views? May it remind us that Peter does not tell his fellow circumcised believers that they should begin eating all the foods that he has now understood as acceptable to eat. May it also remind us that Peter does not tell Cornelius that his family needs to obey Jewish dietary laws. May I remind us that what Peter does is he shares his experience of struggle. And he shares his experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm not here to tell you what to believe about human sexuality. We can all read the Holy Word and study it because we have each been blessed with reason, with the capacity to reason, to have faith, and to have compassion. I passionately believe that God has created all of us fearfully and wonderfully so, as it reads in Psalm 139. And so the question that I would lovingly encourage us to reflect upon is this: what does it mean to live in the Holy Spirit? When the churches and Christians passionately disagree with one another on a serious, serious issue. What does it mean to live in the Holy Spirit when the churches and Christians passionately disagree with one another on a serious issue? All around us, I'm afraid, are poor examples of how to disagree. We just have to look to the West and remember how the Alberta Premier refused to sit with the Premier of British Columbia at the Western Premier's Conference in Yellowknife just last month. Or Rachel Notley's tweet. It would be surreal and exceptionally tone-deaf for anyone to think we could politely discuss pharmacare and cannabis when one of the players is hard at work trying to choke the economic lifeblood of the province and the country. Instead, I would lovingly encourage us to look at how the Holy Spirit moves in the lives of those who claim to walk in the way, the truth, and the life. One of the things we can look for how the Holy Spirit is truly moving is from Galatians 5. And Lauren actually mentioned this in the announcements this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. This is how we know that the Holy Spirit is moving in someone's life. If people display the fruit of the Spirit, who are we to hinder God? Our God is one of unconditional love. Our God is one who loves the righteous. Our God is one who longs for everyone to be in right relationship with the Creator and with all that God has created. This morning, may we prayerfully discern what it means to care for the spiritual well-being of those around us while not compromising our theological understandings. I'd like to close this morning with an excerpt from a report submitted by the Committee of Doctrine. It is written by the Reverend Dr. Blair Bertrand. We are all simultaneously both sinner and justified, an individual who sins and an agent of grace. Each is imperfectly following the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. We are more than a side or a position. We sit at table together, both as we deliberate, but even more poignantly, as we seek God in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the bread and wine of communion. This is my body offered for you, are the very personal words we say to each other as we reach out with the bread of life. In Jesus Christ, we are seen and we are heard. We are served and delighted in. In turn, as a Christian community, we are to see and hear, to serve and delight in for each other. At times, politics and positions can obscure the face of the other, to deaden our ears to the individual voice, and therefore make it difficult for us to serve and delight in one another. So may we remember Jesus' prayer for his disciples in the Gospel of John. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may completely be one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. And so as Peter said, if then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are we that we could hinder God? Amen.